Praise the Lord. And we want to just be guided by His Holy Spirit. There's no two services are alike. If any two services are alike, we have to be very careful of falling into a rut and a stereotyped way. The Holy Spirit moves differently, and He's leading us. And we just wanted to be guided by the Holy Spirit. So first of all, I'll ask us all if we can stand. And in recognition of those online that are looking at us, I'll ask us all if you can just turn around and give a big wave and a big shout out. This is not a digital wave on Facebook. This is a live wave to you. Hallelujah. Those of you in your homes, with your iPods, with your phones, with your computers, we want to tell you that you are very much part of this meeting, because the power of God is not restricted here at North Battleford. You could receive of the Lord today, even right now. You could partake of this anointing. And all the people say?
Amen.
Amen. Good. So if there's anybody, well, we had a wonderful service last night. And God has moved and touched and begin a work. But don't feel if you have not received fully what you were expecting. Just keep seeking the Lord. And He will fulfill those things. That by the end of this camp, you can be fulfilled. And God will minister to your needs and blessings. Not only here while you're here, but at your homes, at your workplace, among your friends, beyond here. So we must look at this thing globally, how God is moving. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Glory to God. First of all, while you remain standing, we will ask, we would like to pray for a special group of people. I mean, we're all special, but God uses us at the appropriate time. As we look behind me here, we see the musicians on my right, on my left. And these are the people that play very much a major part of our meetings. And I hope that we continue to support them in our prayers, to stand with them. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask all the musicians to leave where you are and just come up front here. We're going to pray for them. Yes, if you can come here. You know, there are two things that comes to mind. Do you remember from the scripture, those in the congregation who are instrumentalists, please feel free to be up here. Those who God uses from time to time in the local assembly, don't be afraid. Now is your time. This is the hour that the Holy Spirit is indicating that we need each other, and the power of God must be upon your life. I'll tell you something like I was going to say. Did you remember when Saul was troubled by an evil spirit in the scriptures? I'm just paraphrasing because you know what I'm talking about. When Saul was troubled by an evil spirit and David played the harp, and you know what happened? What happened? That evil spirit just went away under the power of God. And that's, it doesn't matter, Old Testament, New Testament, whatever. You are part of the Jehoshaphat army. You are leading. And that's very important. And we pray that God will anoint those fingers and touch your mind and touch your spirit. Because whenever you are leading in song and worship and so on, you are a very important part of the ministry. It's not for us just coming and stand. We are all involved. We are all consumed. And that's where we stand before God. That's your responsibility. It's serious. That's why we pray for you. That's why we appreciate every one of you. If you don't mind, just link your hands together in front here. We're going to pray. I'll ask the congregation, just stretch forth your hands to these dear ones. Their ministry, if nobody has ever said this to you before, we're going to tell you that your ministry is very important. Because when you begin to play those musical things all the various music and sing. You know what happened? God in the realm of the Spirit is breaking down the barriers, is setting men and women free, is healing people, is delivering people, is bringing about the miracles, the power of God. It's not just singing and playing. It's the measure of the power of God. It's the measure of that power of God that just moved here. And I'll tell you what, before we pray, and before those of you in the congregation that just sets forth your hand to this group of people who we are so much interdependent on each other. And I'm going to look at you in your eyes, and I'm going to tell you something here this morning. You're looking at a guy who grew up in a undeveloped third world country of South America. And you're looking at this guy who always wanted to play an instrument, but never had the opportunity to. I grew up this way. And because many people in other parts of the world never had the opportunity to learn music and so on. So I want to tell you, in the presence of God, never take the gifts that God has given you for granted. After today, seek the Lord, that God will use you to enter into that realm of the Spirit and play your instruments and sing your song to bring deliverance to the nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you in agreement with that?
Yes.
So let's pray. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your power. We thank you for your might. We thank you, Lord, for this humble group that is before us here standing. And Lord, in the midst of the congregation, those on the World Wide Web, those who are listening, and Lord, most of all, the presence of your Holy Spirit, we ask of you largely that you will overshadow your people in Jesus' name, that you will touch their fingers and touch their minds and touch their souls and touch their spirit, oh God, that they may be revitalized and be re-energized, be inspired of the Holy Ghost, that they will play on to the victory. Play on, oh God, at this end time. Father, we thank you that in a world where music is being abused, we thank you that you can use your people and guide them into the right pathway. We praise your name. We glorify your name for doing this. Thank you, Lord, for touching them. Blessing their homes, blessing their lives, Lord, giving them the victory in every department of their lives. For we know that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up that standard, oh God, that will stand against every wiles of the devil. We thank you for doing it, oh God, in Jesus' name, that you will bless them abundantly, use them abundantly, anoint them afresh with a double portion of thine anointing today, that as the words and the songs of Zion, oh God, being sung, that we thank you, Lord, and have the liberty to sing the songs of Zion in the land for us, dear Lord. We praise your name, bless your name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's liberating.
Stand in the presence of the Lord. Even so saith the Lord, as my people are faithful and stand in their place and minister even the things that the Lord has placed upon them, that his anointing rests upon them, the armies of the enemy cannot stand before his people, saith the Lord. Ways shall be opened, doors shall be opened, yoke shall be broken, and that which the Lord has proclaimed shall come into its fullness, saith the Lord. Be thou faithful, for the hand of the Lord is upon his people, even in this hour, even in the dark hour that covers the earth. Even so is the hand of the Lord upon his people, that they shall overcome, they shall go forth, they shall possess, they shall inherit.
Amen.
They shall not be turned back, but they shall possess all that is before them. Therefore, saith the Lord, let mine anointing rest upon you as ye play unto the Lord, and the yoke shall be broken.
Amen.
And my
Hallelujah.
People shall go forth, and they shall inherit, and they shall possess, saith the Lord. For I have ordained that it shall be so, and it shall be so, saith the Lord.
Lay, I say unto thee, my people, this shall become the norm of my body. Yea, she begins to move. Yea, and I shall send her throughout the earth. My people, I say unto thee, I have given unto thee my word, and my word has declared these things. But I say unto thee, a new day is arising, when you will begin to see my hand move in my people in such a ways that you will be astonished, and you will wonder how can these things be. But I tell you how it shall be. It shall be because the Son of the living God, the power of the Holy Spirit, is coming into his people. Yea, I say unto thee, my people, thou shalt begin to set this creation free, here a little and there a little. But lo, I say unto thee, my people, march on. Be faithful that which I have given unto thee, saith the Lord.
The Lord looks for a willing vessel, says your Lord God Almighty. I do not look as man looks. I do not look for those who are strong in themselves. I do not look for those who in themselves have specific talents and abilities, but I look for a willing heart. And I give you gifts, and I give you abilities. Do not despair within yourself and say, how shall I do these things that the Lord has set in front of me? But I say to you, present yourselves to me. Say to me, here I am your instrument, Lord. Play through me.
Amen.
And I shall work through you.
Glory.
My Holy Spirit shall play through you in a way that is far beyond what you can imagine. And this, me playing through you, my instrument, shall do a mighty work that you cannot even
Amen.
Imagine. For I shall loose the chains. For I shall lift the burdens. I shall set the captives free. Set yourselves and lay yourselves in front of me, my willing instruments, and I shall use you.
Didn't I send the singers before the army? Yea, the people looked out and saw the enemies ahead, and they were fearful. And they said, we are outnumbered. How are we going to conquer the enemy? Yea, but I sent the singers, those who played instruments before. Yea, to show that it's not about man. It's not about strength and power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord through that music that was played. Yea, the enemy was overcome, overwhelmingly overcome. Yea, because the faithful ones, the singers and the instruments, played unto the Lord, and the Spirit of God overshadowed the people, and the enemy was awestruck and laid down their swords and weapons. Yea, those were the days of old, yea, but today in the present, I am doing the same work. Yea, when you are downcast, when you are downtrodden, yea, sing the songs of Zion, for they shall lift your spirit. They shall overcome the enemy in your mind, those things that are in your minds. Yea, they're not from me. Yea, I am in your heart, I am in your body, in your gut. Go with your gut, yea, not with your mind, for your mind is deceitful. It can, and the enemy can go there. Yea, but renew your mind, renew the spirit within you, for it is my spirit. Yea, it's not by might or power, but by my spirit, thus saith the Lord.
My people, have peace. The sun.
to the east, to the west. It continues to east or west, yea, as you will be in following the Lord Jesus Christ, east or west, the Son of Righteousness. You also shall be entering into that priesthood from south to north to the Holy of Holies, from the north to the south, to see the people and spread the word that all over the world, through longitude and latitude, you will touch the hearts of everyone wherever they stand, that you fill the whole world with the glory of the Lord, and you come up hither, and you enter in the realm of the Spirit, and you call forth the company of the body of Christ. For the third day it rises, on the third day it comes from its death, and it rises on the third day. Hallelujah.
Amen. We can all come to attention. Thank you, musicians, instrumentalists. Thank you very much. You can be seated. And while we're taking our seats, I'll ask those who are just prayed, if you can just, as you lend yourself to the Holy Spirit, and he uses you, just look to him for more. There's no limit. There's no limit. It just goes beyond the natural imagination. And Lucifer was one, I call him the songbird. Lucifer, and the musically inclined guy. And today in the world, we find there are many struggles with people that have misused the power of music, which comes from God Almighty. May God continue to bless you and use you. But we have a number of requests up here. 2, 4, 6, 8 requests. Well, that's good that people can recognize the power of prayer, and we can recognize that God can do a work here. Amen. I'll ask Brother Marcus, can you join me, if you don't mind, as we bring these requests before God? And I'll ask Brother Wayne to join us too. Normally we ask two persons, we have three. Doesn't matter. Praise God. Hallelujah. So, got lots of requests here. Okay, I'm going to start the first one, and then we have another one here. Just laying here. First one here is, please pray for Doreen, a lady in Saskatoon. I do not know if you have already received prayer request for her. She needs healing for her eye, which could lead to blindness. She does not want to lose her driver's license. She is 81 years old. 81 years old today, July 2nd. She has a doctor's appointment on July 2nd. Sorry, she's 81 years today on July 2nd, but she has an appointment. It looks like if an upcoming appointment. But God is able, yes, to renew her strength and give her the youth of a young woman and to bless her. So, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have caused the blind to see, the deaf to hear, and you have done unlimited things, O Lord. You are the great physician. Father, today we commit Doreen before you, who is needing a touch from you. Lord, we pray that your healing virtue will flow through her body, touching her eyes especially. And Lord, we thank you for that she'll be able to see clearly. Thank you for helping her to achieve the driver's license, not by her strength, but by your strength. Yes. Guide her, direct her, and move upon her, dear Lord. We commit this request before you, and we praise you for hearing and answering it now, because we all believe you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This is from Brian Hannigan. Caden Roberts, we're going to pray for. Caden called to say he's back in prison. He's asked for prayer from you since he is discouraged about his behavior. He's given his life to Christ. Today he prayed, repenting for his sins, and asked God for help. Heavenly Father, you are here.
Yes.
Your word declares where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of them. Father, as we look back in our lives, we can see your hand. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Yes.
All power and authority is within your hand. You are the creator of all mankind. Father, you are the healer. You are the deliverer. Father, we pray for this young man. Lord, that you would somehow fill him with your Holy Spirit. Father, that he would be able to yield himself to a greater strength within the Christ within him. Father, you've asked us to be led by the Spirit of God. Lord, let the Holy Spirit attend to him this morning.
Yes.
And Father, it is from the issues of the heart that we behave. And Father, we look for a heart to be changed this morning.
Yes.
We ask, Lord, that you would do a mighty work. Draw him by your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. That is, we depend on completely. Father, we thank you for the intricacies and your involvement in every moment of our life. And so we just pray for Caden Roberts this morning. Touch him by your Holy Spirit. Father, deliver him. Open the prison doors for him. Let him have a desire not to re-enter. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
This prayer request is for Ray Milne. Ray has stage 4 colon cancer, married with a wife, 2 boys, one with serious special needs. Ray is a believer and has asked for prayer for healing and for support for his family. Our brother prayed for the musicians this morning and thanked them for the part that they play. And Brother Mervyn's sunbow the other day indicated to all of us how important every individual prayer is when we bring these prayers before the Lord. Your prayer for Ray Milne right now is very, very important. Heavenly Father, we come together as a body, your body, Lord, members of your body, individually chosen and called and selected by you. We come to you today, and we can pray in authority because you are our Savior. You are the one that has died for us, and you have stretched your hands forth of healing to us many, many times. And we would like to do the same for Ray today. We pray, Lord, that you would stop this cancer from progressing any further and cause it just to completely disappear. And we pray for his dear wife and the 2 boys, one with particular needs. Lord, Ray has a responsibility before you to take care of his wife, to be the head of the family, to love his wife like you love the church, and to raise the boys up in the ways of the Lord. And he can't do that if this cancer proceeds and takes his life. He needs to be able to be healthy, to be able to do these things that is required of him.
Yes,
and so we ask that you would just answer the request that is made here today on Ray's behalf for this colon cancer. Just heal and touch him now. And we believe without any question, Lord Jesus, as you lay your hands on Ray, that you will cause this cancer to disappear and that you will raise him up. In Jesus' name, amen.
This request is submitted by the folks in Park Valley. The weather. Let's pray for the weather. Please ask God for warmer weather. That sounds like my request, being a South American.
It was 0 degrees.
Oh, it was 0 degrees centigrade. Yeah, that's supposed to be freezing, right?
Yeah. Last night.
Last night. Our crops depend on the warmth. And our crops are our income. Yeah. This is from the Park Valley Assembly. Mm. From all
agricultural community.
Agricultural community. There's a request, and this is one of the struggles that the people in Israel in Bible times went through. Yep. And they prayed, and God answered their prayer. So we're going to pray that God give favorable weather, and let's just look to Him. Our Father and our God, we come to You because You are in full control of the wind and the waves and the sea and the atmosphere and the weather. Lord God, we commit Park Valley before You, and You are fully aware of the necessity of having a warmer weather even right now for the benefit of reaping the crops, dear Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. We're asking You largely, Lord,
yes,
that
Lord,
You will turn around the weather condition that will work,
yes,
favorably for the farmers, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, we know You're able to do this because You're God.
Amen.
Lord, we think of Elijah who prayed for rain,
yes,
and You answered that prayer. Lord, we thank Amen. You as sons of the living God. Today we call upon You because Your word tells us that whatever we ask in Jesus' name, it shall be done. We pray in the name of Jesus that You will answer this prayer request, that the people in Park Valley may know that there is a God, the God of heaven and earth, the God of Elijah. The God is our God. Lord
Amen.
God, as we commit this before You,
Hallelujah,
this request, we pray You'll hear and answer. You know the full details, O God. You
Amen.
Know what the people need in this area. And Lord, we know that our God will supply our needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. We thank You for
Amen.
Doing it now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Submitted for Bruce Sonias, North Battleford Assembly. His son Kyle and his other sons. Kyle needs prayer. He was recently taken into custody. He's very discouraged, has overwhelming circumstances. Those of us in the local church who know him love him dearly. His dad, Bruce, is a devoted Christian brother. The Lord has spoken to us about opening prison doors. We cannot open these doors, but our Lord Jesus Christ can open the doors. This is not about us. This is about us yielding to that one that is within us. And this is not us up front praying. This is us
Amen.
As a body
yes.
in prayer.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we approach Your throne of grace. We've been there many times. As a body, we thank You for the intercessors in our midst. And Father, we thank You that this prayer, as we present it this very hour, You will attend to it.
Yes.
Dear Lord, those of us who are intercessors in our midst, those of us that have the gift of faith, Lord, we combine our prayers together. As a congregation, and we ask, Lord, that as we bind our hearts together and we come in agreement, that you will do the work that is necessary to open the prison doors.
Amen.
You're open. You are many of us, and many around us are prisoners within ourselves. Father, we look for him to be released within himself. And we look for the physical prison doors to be opened, dear Lord.
Yes, Jesus.
Well, Lord, you alone can change the heart of man.
Yes.
We thank you for Paul, who was a man that would put people into prison and even to death. At the touch of Jesus, one encounter, one light, and everything changed.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, for our brother Paul. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing, not only in Paul's life and have done in our lives, but this man who's been requested for prayer.
Yes.
Father, we bring him before you. Do a great work, dear Lord. Lord, let him become a strong pillar in the temple of our God. Father, let him be a Paul, dear Lord, that you would minister through and to, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This request is from Mark and Ruth Tyler from Winkler, Manitoba. Brian Kim, Brooklyn Scott Crocker. The family is sick. Please pray for speedy recovery. Lord, you've heard this request today, and we bring the whole family before you, the mother, the father, and the children. Two little tykes, 2 years old, one 2 months old. And they are not well, but you know them personally. You actually made them in the palm of your hands, and they are precious in your sight.
Yes, Lord.
So we lift our hands today against the enemy that has brought this sickness to this family, and we rebuke it in Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
We ask that healing would come immediately.
Hallelujah.
And that the fevers and the troubles and the issues that they're dealing with will be completely gone. And we ask this believing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
We're coming along smoothly. We have just a few more. Thank you for your patience. Maurice Anderson needs prayer. He would like to be at the meeting, but has swelling of the knee, of the legs, and has been on the couch for the past 2 weeks, feeling very weak. Surely his wife phoned with this request. So we're going to pray for Maurice Anderson. There is no distance in prayer.
That's right.
And God can heal. So we are here before God with the faith of the centurion. Say the word. It can be done. There's no distance. Heavenly Father, today we come to you in a special way because we realize you're the God of the impossibilities, Lord. And Lord, as we bundle our faith together as one man faith, today we pray for our brother Maurice Anderson. Oh, dear Lord, we pray that you'll reach down the nail-scarred hands of Calvary and touch him, touch his legs in Jesus' name, and bring about a healing, Lord. That swelling may just subside, that healing virtue may flow through his body. And Lord, we pray that you'll encourage Maurice to just rest in you, to put his faith and confidence in you, Lord. Even encourage his dear wife, Shirley, and we pray that you'll be with them. Bless them at this time. Lord, we ask of you largely for a miracle. for, dear God, the deliverance from this for our brother. We thank you for doing it, Lord, because we know you're a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God. So we are holding on to you, Lord, that you will do the work in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for doing it now. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. If Maurice and Shirley are watching, we really sincerely miss you. I look at that spot back there, and I say, where is our brother and our sister? And so our prayers are sincerely with you. Please pray for my local church. There's a division among its members, including the elders and deacons, and we are not functioning how a church should or how Christ would have his church function. The many issues appear to have deep roots, and things are not improving, but seem to be getting worse. I know God is able to unite its members and heal all the hurts and causes for the division. Praise God.
Hallelujah. I wonder if we should ask the church to stand when you pray for this request.
Our brother just asked if we should all stand, and you know what? That's exactly what I was thinking. Are we surprised? Not at all.
Maybe hold hands together.
Pray. Maybe we could hold hands together, if you don't mind.
Oh. Oh my God. Oh God.
My Father. My Father. Our Father.
Yes.
Our Father. Jesus, we thank you. You're at the right hand of our Father.
Hallelujah.
In intercession. As mankind, you've created us in your image and in your likeness. You've asked us to choose this day whom we will serve. Father, we would ask that this congregation would receive the anointing of the Spirit.
Yes.
Break down, give revelation, take the scales from the eyes.
Yes.
First of all, of the eldership, dear Lord.
Yes.
Your word declares that we are not ignorant,
yes,
of Satan's devices. We know that he's going around seeking whom he may devour.
Yes.
He works in deception, and we're not ignorant of his devices. We know, dear Lord, when the peace of God is not there, that there's another spirit at work.
Yes.
Father, help the elders, the deacons, to understand this and to know it, to discern it.
Yes.
Father, if there's apologies needed, we just ask, Lord,
yes,
that the pride would come down. We know that pride will not enter the kingdom. Father, we pray that you will open the eyes and let the spirit of humility come upon this people.
Yes, Lord.
Father, we ask right now that you would bind the,
yes,
enemy's work.
Yes. Amen.
Whatever we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Amen.
We are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness,
yes, yes,
in high places. We are We see manifestations in with our eyes, but the work happens in the realm of the Spirit. And this morning, Lord, we are not interested in working on this earth, but we are interested in dealing in the spirit realm.
Yes.
Father, we pray, dear Lord, this morning that you would bind the spirit that would cause divisions. Father, we thank you we have power. What we bind on earth shall be bound in heaven.
Yes.
And dear Lord, that we can do this morning without any hesitation, without any wonderment, can this happen or will this happen? We bind it in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, let unity come. Let love come, dear Lord. Let your anointing come. Let the Spirit of Christ come.
Amen.
And let there be a stronger church than ever before. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This request is from Renee Himmerling, North Battleford, and it's for Brent. Please pray for my friend Lisa's three-month-old son. He was born with a genetic disorder called Alpha 1, and I can't even pronounce the name, deficiency. He has severe liver disease and is at risk for a lung transplant. He has already had one surgery and many long hospital stays. He needs complete healing, and his parents need strength with this unexpected struggle. Father, we spiritually, somehow I could just feel in the spirit, we're going to hold Brent up. 3 months old, just a child. He was born with these terrible deficiencies, and his liver is at risk, and has already gone through operations. Lord, we hold him up to you today, and we ask that you would have mercy, and that you would reach down from heaven your hands of healing and touch this child, that you would restore him to complete health. Lord, that you would take away these deficiencies. Lord, we know that this is possible because we are witnesses to many miracles in our lives as we've walked with you. And we are not afraid to ask for a complete healing today and to continue to hold Brent up until you've restored his health completely. And we pray for the parents who are going through such a terrible struggle. Lord, let your Holy Spirit, your Comforter, be with them in a way that they've never witnessed before.
Yes,
we hold them up in prayer now, and we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've not only heard, but you are going to grant the requests that have been made today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
We can be seated for a moment. The big question is asked, why are we here? What's the purpose of being at camp? And I guess we all have different reasons. And I'll make it a little easy for you. I'll give a few reasons. Those are just my reasons. But outside of those reasons that I'm going to give, I'm sure there are specific reasons other than what I'm going to give. So we are here not to play church. We are here because we mean business with God. And I tell you something, it's great to do business with God. You never lose. It's great to do business with God. We do business with God when we attend the services, when we spend that time in prayer and meditation and reading God's word and submitting ourselves to him. And you know, the list goes on and on. That's doing business with God, because the outcome is always profitable. It's always wonderful. Some of us are here. If we're sick, we should look to the Lord for healing, because he can touch us, heal our body, soul, spirit, mind, the total man. Healing of the mind, healing of the spirit. God can do a work. We are here. If we are weak, God could strengthen us in our spiritual walk to face the enemy, like David who faced Goliath. It does not matter of the size. The power of God is not restricted in any way. We are here to be encouraged if we are discouraged at all. And this has been something the enemy has taken out, one of his most effective tools in his workshop. That's the tool of discouragement. And he's wielding it on God's people. I say unto you this morning, be not discouraged. Walk with the Lord. He's with you. Even though situations may seem otherwise, he's with you. We are here that God will give the wisdom of the many uncertainties we face. Some of us have left our homes, and we've left in our homes and situations there that are very uncertain. God can give you the wisdom while you're here. He will open doors for you. We are here that the bound could experience the deliverance of the Lord. Not only our own selves, but on behalf of those who we know, that they can be set gloriously free by the anointing and the power of God. We are here for the impossibilities, the miracles, the healings, the unexpected things. God is God, and he could do anything. We are here for our faith in God to be builded, the doubt and fear and unbelief will totally be vanished, and we will experience those victories. We are here because as a church, we sense the great need of the lack of anointing, and we need to be filled and refilled of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let's just focus. If there are any other needs outside of that we may have, focus on the Lord. He will meet your need this week, this day, this hour, because he's promised to do so. Hallelujah. I'll ask our musicians to just play something in the Spirit. Just play something in the Spirit. As while the musicians are just playing something in the Spirit and we focus on the Lord, I'm just going to ask a few of us in the congregation, if you don't mind, to just come here and help this guy out in some singing. Just a few of you, as the Lord leads you. I'm not going to call age group or name or number, just as the Lord leads you, as the Spirit of God brings you. Thank you. Thank you very much. And while these brethren are playing, and we're just focusing on the Lord, I want you to just close your eyes. And just feel the embrace of the Father. Just feel the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst, bringing about those deliverances, healings, and just accomplishing those things. God wants to meet our needs right where we are, right now. That's what he wants to do in our midst. Close our eyes, shut ourselves, focus on the Lord with that laser beam focus. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Stand if you're able to do so. Please stand. You, as we sing that beautiful song all over the world, the Spirit is moving as we have prayed for our musicians. And while we're singing this song, focus on your home, the problems, situations at work, and just realize that all over the world, you don't have to be there. The Spirit of God is moving right now. All over the world, as the prophet said it would be. There's a mighty, glorious, powerful revelation of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Right now. Glory to God. We sang a song here yesterday, I think, is it's about I don't know. God is impossible. I don't remember. What was that song, Carrie? The song that we sang here yesterday. God is so wonderful.
I can't explain it.
And what has happened here, while we were singing, it occurred to me, there is not only the sound waves that are going out on the World Wide Web, it's the anointing that is going out and touching people in their homes, in their lives, and doing a tremendous work. So it's the impossible, the unknown, the unseen, the unheard. It's the realm of the divinity that we are dealing with, people of God. So let's enter in. And if there is something that you could just zoom in and receive of the Lord, the impossible, just receive as we sing this song. I don't know what number it is. We don't. Let's sing. Instruments, just play, and as this song is being played, you just reach out, receive of the Lord. Hallelujah, glory to God. I feel like jumping here. Praise the Lord. Amen. God is so wonderful. Praise his name. You know, the song that comes to mind is Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. We can lean on that everlasting arms, and we know it's not going to fail. What number it is, somebody?
87.
87 in the front or in the back?
In the front.
87. Just lean on the everlasting arms. Continue. That's one of the right things that you're doing. Continue to do that. Amen. Having a good time?
Amen.
You ought to have a good time. In the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. His right hand, there are pleasures forevermore.
Amen.
If we can't enjoy church, we might as well do something else.
Amen.
But it's a glorious opportunity we have. Serving the Lord is the most blessed opportunity.
Yes.
Young people, serving the Lord is the best.
Yes.
There's no substitute for that. And sometimes when we get that infilling of the Holy Spirit, you know, we just feel so, it's not the feelings, but it's the power of God that comes
Amen.
In us. Changes our outlook. We see the grass greener. Oh, we see the sky. We see the living skies. We see the beauty of the living skies. Number two. Oh, good. Amen. Praise. We are having a good time up here. God is good. If you're not happy, please let your if you're happy, let your heart notify your face and give us a big, bright, white picketed fence so that we're gleaming in front of us, so that will bless us and minister unto us too. Amen?
Yes.
It's a blessing to smile and to sing. You may not be able to do both at the same time, but at least you could sing now. The next time someone asks you, who are you? Don't be afraid to say, I'm a child of the King.
Amen.
That's who we are. They may not understand, but that's the fact about it. Hallelujah. You have another song? Oh, yes. Very much. You may have your seat. Thank you.
Does anybody know the page for the song, The Day is Dawning Upon the Earth? There's a new day dawning. Can you help me find that? And I will sing it while we have the musicians here. I just don't want to quit having fun, Brother Robert. Anybody know where to find that one? It's a new day dawning. Say it again. The age is ending. That's good news. 157. I heard an echo. The age is ending upon this earth. Saints of God, I am just so excited about what God has in store for his people. What he has in store for all of humanity. It's described in Romans chapter 8. And I think we should really engage with God with the excitement of the Spirit of God that's here and embrace what God has for us. Just say, Lord, bring it on. It's kind of in line with what it says in Revelation. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. And we want the Spirit of God to really impress upon us where we are in the scheme of things. And I think he's going to help us understand more and more of that. The age is ending upon this earth. There's a new day dawning. You have to stand for this. Amen. Well, that's kind of low for my voice.
The age is ending upon the earth. The night is surely coming on. But through the darkness a light does shine, the promise of the coming dawn. There's a new day coming. There's a to each man's heart is Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, that your plan for us includes a lot of joy, a lot of laughter, a lot of enjoyment in the things of God, a desire for righteousness, peace, and joy in all that we say and do in every circumstance. Lord, we know that you are good at what you do. You are good at building your church. You are good at causing a people that are disqualified to become qualified by the power of the Holy Spirit, for it is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Therefore, Lord, we yield ourselves to whatever you want to say to us by your Spirit this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, musicians. All of you may be seated. What's been on my heart is to do a bit of a study with you in Ezra and Nehemiah, and it's a good thing for all of us that I haven't been left with very much time, more for you, but I've been really enjoying what God has been speaking through these books. Ezra and Nehemiah, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, it seems they were the author of those books was Ezra. He was quite a writer, a chronicler. But I believe that these books have relevance to the church today, and we will focus on the importance of rebuilding the temple and rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. And we will examine how it pertains to your ministry and your gifts and how they contribute to what God is doing today. God is interested in gifts and ministries, and I'm going to do a preamble. I don't know how far God is going to allow me to get into this, but I shared this testimony yesterday with someone, and they acted like they'd never heard it before, so you can too. But there is something unique about this people and this move of God. And how do we say that without sounding exclusive, like we're better than? And we just don't want to go there at all. God just took the lame and the halt and the maimed and brought us together, and he's trying to work with us. But the things that he's promised us is that we would enter into sonship, and he's given us a foundation and an order that is going to be successful in bringing us to the fullness of sonship. And the fullness of sonship is more than eternal life. It is resurrection life. God has resurrection life for us. Glory to God. And I recounted how when I was a beekeeper, I went to a beekeeping convention. Beekeepers even do that. And at this convention in Saskatoon, I had to leave to use the restroom. You didn't need to know that. But when I came back, I went into the wrong convention. And I just stepped into the entrance, and right away I knew that I was in the wrong convention. And I don't even know what it was, but let's say it was a John Deere convention. And God spoke to me because I'd gone through a testing time where I had left my calling for a time, at least in my heart, and I had become confused by mingling with other doctrines. And I had kind of lost my way pretty badly, actually. And in fact, there were evil spirits involved in it, and I needed that deliverance as well. And so what God revealed to me there is if you went into the John Deere convention, you would hear the truth from sincere people that would genuinely help them with their endeavors, and that they would benefit from what was being taught there. But if I wanted to be a beekeeper, I better get back to the beekeeper's convention, because that's where I would learn how to do what I was supposed to do. And this really applies to what God is doing to bring forth a first fruits company, a sonship company. And that's not an exclusive thing. It's just like picture an arrow flying, and it's just the tip of the whole thing entering first, but the rest will follow behind in God's order. It says every man in his own order. Praise God. So it's really important that we pay attention to the calling that God has for us and what he teaches us, and in the system that he's using to teach us, because that's important. I just wanted to give you a brief history leading up to Ezra and Nehemiah. I'll just start with Abraham. He came out of the Ur of the Chaldees and from Haran went into Israel. And he was there for quite some time and had Isaac and then Jacob. And then Jacob had 12 sons, and one of them was Joseph. Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he was sent into Egypt. God's hand was upon Joseph. He was put in a place of prominence and began to rule. And then eventually the Jews left the promised land to go into the land of Goshen to be cared for under the guidance of Joseph. And then there were 430 years they were in Egypt, and many of those years they were in slavery. Now, it's really hard to remember what it was like 430 years ago, and I'll give you a little perspective. 430 years ago from now, King James authorized the King James Bible. We know nothing about that time. And I imagine the children of Israel knew nothing about 430 years before, except that they kept the chronicles alive, the stories alive. And so it's, as we are passing the 70 years, it's important that we rehearse what God has done for us so that we don't lose our focus. There's nothing about it, by the third generation it will fail. Some people like to prognosticate, is that the word? Never used it before. Anyway, yeah, I fooled you. But God's just going to take his people on. And he's willing and we are willing. And we can't get our attention diluted by the good things that he's doing in other places. We need to concentrate on what he's doing here, because what he's doing here is part of the whole. It's not unique. And eventually everyone will enter in. I think that 70 years ago, the young people who were at the Bible school here thought, well, this is the best thing that's ever happened to Christianity, that the order of God is restored, the New Testament promises are the New Testament pattern has been restored, all of the things that God revealed back 70 years ago were confirmed in the scriptures, and they thought Christianity is just going to embrace it. Great. So far, not. But anyway, 430 years in the land of Egypt, and then through Moses they left, were in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they moved into the promised land under Joshua, and they were 800 years in that promised land, but they would not obey. There was three things that always dogged their steps. One was alcohol, the other was sexual impropriety, not sticking to what God said, a man and a woman shall be married, and that's the arena for that relationship. But they wandered away from those things, and the third thing was idolatry. They got focusing on things that became more important than God. It's happening to us. It's very easy. We're as vulnerable as they were. Amen? So we have to be watchful and careful and vigilant. And I think it says in the book of Hebrews that we don't let this thing drift away from us. And that's if you look at the passage there and you look at the Greek, it's a nautical term of a boat wanting to go into the safe port, but it drifts past that opportunity and can't get in. And so we don't want to drift past the opportunity that God has given us. We want to take responsibility for what He's shown us. So the three areas of failure, dealing with alcohol. God does not want a people who are under any influence except the Holy Spirit. They will be the ones that will be in charge of the kingdom. And if you had a very expensive Maserati, would you turn the keys over to someone who was intoxicated? No, you'd want them to be really focused and be under good influence. So we don't need other influences. Sexual immorality will change doctrine. Brother York said to me that he saw when people began to compromise in areas of the sexual area, that they began to adjust their doctrine to fit their lifestyle. And idolatry is just something that we need to be doing during this camp, is examining, and me included, the things that have become so important in our lives and that happened here. We'll just read on. So when they backslid, the prophets warned them, and these prophets were Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, Joel, Amos, and Micah. They warned them about what they were doing was wrong, and the Jews paid no heed, and Babylonians, Assyrians, and Persians came in and captured the land, even as the prophet said it would happen. And this became their judgment. And so Jews were taken into captivity in 586 BC, 586 years before Christ was born. And they were, some of those captives were Daniel, Ezekiel, and Esther. So in that period of time, there were still Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were in captivity, but they were walking with God. Then 48 years after the Babylonians besieged Judah and took captives, God put it on the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to send a contingent of Jews back from Babylon to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple. Brethren, do I have to stop in 10 minutes? Can I have a little more time? Okay, it's okay. I want to do something that might interest the children here, and maybe I better not. I'll do it another time. I just wanted to describe what the temple and the city looked like. I'd like to have that visual. We'll do it another time. So in Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it says, that's Ezra chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, thus says Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth the Lord God of heaven has given me, and he has commanded me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is among you of all his people? May his God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel, which is in Jerusalem. So there was the king of Persia, Cyrus, who sent a contingent of Jews. He gave them an invitation to leave the captivity in Babylon and go back to Israel and rebuild. And 42,000 volunteers left the Babylonian area and went back and had a heart to rebuild. And the city of Jerusalem, it represents the church. The city represents the church, the body of Christ. And you can see that in Revelation. And the temple represents where the church worships. Where the church worships. And God has shown us in this move of God how gifts and ministries operate for the building of that holy place. And so the gifts and ministries that have been given to you and to me through prophecy and the laying on of the hands of the presbytery are part of the rebuilding. Let me throw this in right now because it occurs to me. Do not look for a church that feeds you. Look for a church where you feed one another. If you go there to be fed, then you're a baby. But you go to a church where you're feeding one another, because it says in Ephesians chapter 4 that the body makes increase of itself in love by that which every joint supplies. And we will come to perfection because we need one another. And I think I may have to just put this in a nutshell. I think God wants me to do that. Ezra and Nehemiah came back. First of all, it was Zerubbabel and a man named Joshua came back and began to rebuild the temple, and they got the foundation laid. And then some people came from Samaria in the north and Judeans who had never gone into captivity. And they began to discourage the ones who were rebuilding, who had been captives and who came back with a vision to rebuild. And they discouraged them, and they sent letters to the kings and interfered and criticized. And actually, they offered to help, but they had no heart for what was the truth. So they interfered, and the rebuilding of the temple stopped for many years. They built for 2 years, and then it stopped for, I wrote down, for about 14 years. It just stopped because the people got discouraged. And then Ezra came along, and he said, the Spirit of God said to him, let me find that. It's important. Ezra, I'll see if this is Ezra chapter 5. I'll read Ezra chapter 5, verse 1. Then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah, the son of Iddo, prophets, prophesied to the Jews who were in Jerusalem and in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. Then let's turn to Haggai. These are companion books that are really fun to read together, but they're hard to find. Haggai. I used to have. It's Haggai chapter 1. And a very important verse here that the Lord really highlighted and wants this emphasized. So give your absolute, like Brother Robert said, give your laser attention to this verse. And that's Haggai chapter 1, verse 3. Then the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses, and this temple lies in ruins? Now therefore, thus says the Lord, consider your ways. Saints of God, we can very easily become too interested in things other than the church. We can become really captivated with our houses, with our homes, with our properties, with our travel, and neglect the joy of the church. And I believe that this morning God wants us to refocus on the basic building blocks and get back to rebuilding the church. And I will prophesy to you, and God says to you, if you will look after my house, I will look after yours. Amen? If you will look after my house, if you will look after the church, if you will look after your family in the Spirit of God, if you will look after your marriage, if you will look after your relationships in the body of Christ, I will look after the details for you. You may say, and I know that this is a problem, you say, I don't have time, but I want to tell you, God wants you to meet before Him every day personally. I'm going to be the first one to put up my hand. I have trouble giving God time every day. How about you? God help us. And He will. Let's get joyful. I go out for coffee with the Lord now because I love coffee, but I want to go out for coffee and meet with Him, and just Him and me together. Just having that one-on-one with Him and talk to Him. I'm learning. I want to spend more and more time with Him. Not hours, but consistently daily meeting with Him. But we don't have time for family worship because we're so busy. But you give God the first fruit of your life, and He'll make time because He's the God of time. He'll give you more. He'll give you the longest 24-hour days you've ever can imagine, and He'll give you good sleep as well. He's the God of time, isn't He? And if we put Him first, Jesus said, if you seek first the kingdom of God and My righteousness, do right things, and all these things will be added unto you. Do we believe today? Do we believe today? Let us say to the Lord, I believe. I believe, O Lord. Praise God. So God wants us to be devoted to the family altar. God wants us to love our local church. And I want to inspire you to, if you love those areas of the Bible, Ezra, Nehemiah, even Chronicles, see what God is doing there. Haggai, Zechariah, how the prophets ministered to them. But He said, don't be concentrating on your paneled houses. Well, do you want to come over to my house and see what I do? I concentrate way too much on my home. But I am God's. God is it's okay to look after those things, but to love the church first. Amen? So I want to ask you a silly question. If I was to ask you all to stand and to just move into the area where your local church is, and a bunch of you from each local church, you find your area, and then you could all get together this morning. You could do that, right? You could find one another from the church in Calgary and gather in one area, and the church from Winkler could find one another, and you could find a spot here. I've got something even better than that. Find each other next Sunday. Yeah, seriously. Find each other next Sunday. Enjoy your church. I might even say this. Why don't you... Today's Wednesday. Oh, Tuesday. I really think it's Wednesday. A week from tomorrow, why don't you find your church at prayer meeting? God wants you to. Maybe the whole family can't go, but your family can be represented there, and you can be crying out to God together and looking to Him. And start rebuilding the church, because when the temple was rebuilt, I want to tell you, it says that there were people there who had seen the first temple. When they left Jerusalem, they saw the temple in its glory, and then they saw it being destroyed by the conquering nations coming in. But these ones that were born over in Babylon, they'd never seen the temple. When they saw it finally finished, they were rejoicing so loud, but the ones who'd seen it before were weeping because it didn't hold a candle to the original. But the Spirit of God came on the prophets, and they said, the glory of the last temple will be greater than the former temple. And I want to tell you, saints of God, the church that He's building, which is you, it may look like a motley crew, but in God's eyes, it's a prize. And it's going to spread. And if we will be faithful to the Lord, and we'll walk in His ways, and we'll pay attention and strengthen one another, forgive one another when we rub shoulders and it doesn't feel good. Like Brother Wayne said, it was such an important testimony about how when things go wrong, we need to get back to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit as soon as possible. Just 8 miles later, do it. Right? Just go a little ways and then come to your senses and say, I've got to fix this with your help, Lord.
We've got to fix our churches, not by criticizing one another. You know, there's nothing worse than sitting down at a table where there's a critic and you can't enjoy your meal and they just complain about everything. It's not up to... But you can enjoy being together, and don't come to church on Sunday empty. But I tell you what, if you're meeting with the Lord on a daily basis, and you're meeting as a family 6 days a week, and then you come to church on Sunday, you won't be empty. God will look after that. You'll be filled. It's very tempting to let these things slide, and when one thing slides, the next thing slides, pretty soon you're not going to church. It's so dangerous. God is going to perfect a people in congregations, congregation by congregation. He knows how. These things that God revealed over the years are not random. What's happening in your local church and you gathering the way you do under the eldership, We have to confess we have forced our elders to bring messages because we aren't bringing our vessels full. Is that right? That was pretty weak. Did I not come across? We have put lots of pressure on our elders because they've been forced to bring messages when we aren't doing our part. Is there an amen in the house? Lord, forgive us. Lord, forgive us. There shouldn't be a year go by and you haven't contributed something. I think we need more testimonies in our meetings. Amen. Amen? I think after that testimony meeting, some of us went into the dining hall and a sister said, I'd like to share a testimony at the table. And she shared the testimony and then she said to me, is there something happening in your life that you'd like to testify about? And I was able to share with her, with the table there, a struggle that my wife and I are having in our neighborhood. Serious, serious struggle. And we need to bring righteousness and peace and joy to our local church, to our family. Young people, I want to tell you, it's a good thing mom and dad my parents are in heaven. They may be listening. But my dad never missed devotions in our family, ever. There were 6 devotions a week, week after week, year after year. I was never that consistent. But God helped Marjorie and me to get it back on track. And that's what He's wanting us to do. But God speaks to you in your family worship. And I remember coming home from university and my dad still had the same boring devotions. Read the scriptures, sing a song, and pray. But my youngest brother Neil said, recently when my parents passed away, he said that the layer after layer of the Word of God was being put in our hearts, unbeknownst to us. The seed was being put there and a lot of investment was being put in us. And I came home from university once. We had another one of those seemingly meaningless devotions. And then we got on our knees to pray. And while I was on my knees, is this okay, dear? The Lord said to me, Marjorie will be your wife. I knew who was talking to me. That won't happen to you because you don't need 2x4s in the head like I do. I wouldn't have had a clue. But that's what happened in family worship. God will speak to you in your private devotions. God will speak to you in your family altar. Make the family worship something that reflects the age group of your children. And then when your children leave home, enjoy that fellowship together as husband and wife. I'd like you to stand. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross, but before us we see an open door. Before we sing that again, let's let God get us excited. I tell you, We are going to see one another in resurrected form because of the sacrifice and the glory of Jesus Christ. And His glory will fall on us. We're going to see that happen. And it might not look very promising now, but we're not. Jesus said the kingdom of God doesn't come by observation. It's by the Spirit of God in us. And so don't minimize what God is doing in us. But He is doing a work, and if we will yield to Him, if we will give our all, if we will follow in the pattern of rebuilding the church, rebuilding those altars that have fallen down, oh, I tell you, we'll just see the glory of God fall on us. We'll see answers to prayer. We'll see healings like we've never seen before. We'll see deliverance like never before. Are you with me? Are you with God? We're not going to deviate. We're going to press in more than we ever have before. Amen? Praise the Lord. Sister Rachel, would you come up and close in prayer? And we'll sing again. God is moving us on. He is leading the way. It's a way we have never gone before. There are mountains to climb. There are valleys to cross, but before us we see an open door.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we so appreciate You being here with us.
Yes.
Because we are nothing, we can hear nothing, we can see nothing. If You don't give us the eyes to see and the ears and the hearts to understand, Father, we're so totally dependent on You. But we want to glorify You, Father. Thank You for this tremendous opportunity to be here and to hear Your words, to hear Your voice, to hear with our hearts from Your heart, dear Lord. Oh, Lord, just draw Your people.
Yes.
Draw those that aren't here for different reasons and just bring clarity to their hearts, dear Lord, and help them to see by Your Spirit and give them a longing of heart to be here with Your body. Father, create within each one of us a clean and a pure heart. We're so full of self so many times, dear Lord, and we can't be full of self and full of You at the same time. So help us, dear Lord, to empty out our hearts. Help us, Lord, to move away from our own being and to move into Yours. Oh, Lord, just do the work that You plan to do in each one of our hearts. We would have none to fall short, dear Lord. So we just thank You so much for this awesome opportunity of being here. Guide us by Your Spirit, dear Lord. We so love and appreciate You. Even in between this service and evening service, Father, just fill Your people. Cause our hearts and our minds and everything to be always on You, even the children, dear Lord. Give them that wonderful consciousness of being that it's a privilege to be together here. Father, anoint those in a special way who will be continuing to lead. Cause our hearts to be open to You, Lord. We so love and appreciate You, and we just need You every moment of every day of every hour, dear Lord. We love You. In Jesus' name, guide us.